Take a moment and check your mind. Did you stay here at our day-long retreat while you had your short break? Or did your mind take you elsewhere for a while? Did the sound of the bell bring you back? Or perhaps there's still something running around about the past or the future, something that might be distracting you from simply being present. So let's all just take it and resettle. Taking a conscious in-breath, and with the out-breath, letting everything go. So there's just this, now. And maybe taking another conscious in-breath. And doing that again, letting anything that lingers just flow out with the breath. Be present to the body, sitting, breathing, here, with friends on the path, breathing together. At the end of the last session, some interesting questions were raised. It seems that when something happens in what we often refer to as real life, that perhaps there are consequences that don't seem to arise when we wake up from a dream and now it's gone. If anyone is having difficulty hearing me, please. And if we have a loss in a dream, perhaps we even dream someone has died that we care about, and we wake up and we say, oh, what a relief. It's just a dream. But if someone we care about dies in, quote, real life, unquote, it's not quite so easy, it seems. And yet, what is there when all these aspects of the relative world arise and suffering occurs? Your thoughts and feelings that we can look at and explore and recognize as coming from causes and conditions that may be catalyzed from, quote, external events, but really they're coming from within. They change over time. They shift. And although we talk about absolute bodhicitta and relative bodhicitta, now we're looking at relative bodhicitta, and earlier we were looking at the absolute bodhicitta of the spacious clarity, they aren't really separate. We're all aware, I think, that even in the hell realms that we can experience here on Earth, even in concentration camps, there were people who were able to touch in some way that boundlessness, that clarity, that spaciousness in such a way that they were able to be there for others. They were able to inspire. They were able to relieve suffering. Despite these horrible, horrible circumstances. This spacious awareness, this knowing that perhaps we touched a little bit of earlier in the last session, doesn't come and go. It's always available. And it really is from here that we do all the practices of relative bodhicitta that we're about to get into. So we've developed our aspiration. We'd like to be awake. We'd like to be fully present. We'd like to be of benefit to other beings. And how can we do that? And why would we want to do that? Shantideva, the author of The Way of the Bodhisattva, one of the pith lines from his work is, all the misery of the world comes from seeking our own happiness. And you may have noticed that we've spent our lives seeking our own happiness, and it really hasn't worked very well. In fact, that if it worked really well, we probably wouldn't be sitting here together this morning. So just check, you know, is that true? Went a little bit warmer, a little bit colder. If I can get that, I'll be happy. If only this wouldn't happen, I'd feel better. This is the job. It'll make my life. This is the relationship. But here we are. So just check for a moment. Is that true? That really chasing our own happiness doesn't bring our own happiness? And the second part of that line is, all the joy in the world comes from seeking the happiness of others. So check that one as well. And think for a moment, ponder for a moment, times when you have really been there in a, it's all relative, but fairly selfless way for someone else. See if you can bring up an actual example of that. How did it feel? How did you feel? What feelings arose for you? Those times of selflessness, when you were really, really focused on, let me ease this person's suffering. Let me help this person. May they be happy. What was that experience like? I think it's pretty clear if we really look that we can say, yeah, Shantideva had a real point there. And that perhaps if we do this shift of beginning to seek the happiness of others, it's almost selfish, that my own happiness will also be present, that I feel good when I do that, that my joy comes from that. The Dalai Lama actually has called that enlightened selfishness. So we're going to look at a couple of practices for the morning here. And practice is really a good word here because we are practicing for the happiness of others. We are practicing to take the other's suffering and give out the joy, the peace, the courage, whatever might be called for under the circumstances. When we have the really leisure to be able to sit on a mat and do these practices, we want to make a point of not simply going to the immediate practice of metta, for example, or Tonglen, which we're about to get into as well, but first to, once again, check the aspiration. Why am I doing this? What is there? What is my desire here? And also to retouch that open, spacious awareness in whatever way that we can. So we'll move now into a meditation on loving kindness. This is extending the desire for happiness. These are good wishes for others to have peace, others to have joy. And I'll digress a minute more also. One of the really important factors most of the teachers, all of the teachers, I think, will say is that we're doing this with equanimity, meaning in this sense, equality of all beings. And you'll see as we move through this, if you've never done it before, and you're aware of this already, if you have, of course, that we'll be looking at extending these good wishes to our good friends and loved ones, to people we don't know, and also to people we perceive as very difficult, perhaps even, this is my enemy. And we want to be able to do that with the same generosity. Equal love for all beings is one way of putting that. And I've heard one of the comments that I've heard at times is, wait a second. Do you mean you want me to think about my friends and family the same way I think about people I don't know or someone I really, makes me nauseous to even look at them? Maybe you don't have anybody like that, but maybe you do. And it's actually the opposite way. What we want to do is look at people we don't know and the ones that were to give us the difficulties, like we do with our family and friends. And it can be helpful as we apply this. I find it helpful. This is a practice of mine. When I am meeting a puffed up pontificator, let's say, y'all know who I mean, right? And he's going to tell you how it is and knows the answers and is patronizing about it as well. A patronizing, puffed up pontificator. I can go, oh, Uncle Bob. Ah, yeah, I know you. And, my heart is with you, even though you're doing what you're doing. And I really, really do wish you well. And when that kid cuts in front of me in traffic, oh, that's my nephew, Robbie. He's headstrong, he's impulsive, young and dumb and all that. And hopefully he'll gain in wisdom as he goes along. And so on. And you can do this kind of thing with everybody. For me, it really helps to make that little shift in my mind, kind of personalize what often feels so impersonal. So as we begin this metta meditation, and as later on we begin a Tonglen one, let's just take a moment. We're not going to spend a lot of time redoing this, but let's once again calmly abide, settling the mind. To do these practices, whether it's reflective meditations, analytic meditations, metta meditations, Tonglen meditations, we need stability. Our mind needs to be settled. It needs to experience some spaciousness. So we take a moment and settle. And we can do that together. Maybe we'll do just 3 minutes, maybe four, of calm abiding meditation. And sticking with the theme from this morning, I'll invite you to use some breath counting. Even if you feel you don't need to, just go ahead and play along. Do it anyway. And if you found in your previous experience that 21 breaths is out of the question, try three. And then go back to one. And if that seems easy, then use five, and so on. So I will pause. And I would say one more thing. The attention is not being placed on the number. The attention is being placed on the breath. And we're counting. The attention is placed on the breath. From the moment you begin to feel the in-breath, you're staying gently, carefully with it, all the way through the top of the in-breath, all the way down the out-breath, until it's gone. And then there's the first stirring again. So gently, carefully, stay with the breath, and count and come back whenever you need to. And now, once again, regarding all phenomena as dreamlike. The memory of the breath counting you just did, how is that memory different in any substantial way from the memory of a dream you had last night? Everything is coming and going, never still for a moment. And yet there's a stillness. The feelings come and go, sounds come and go. Thoughts come and go. Thoughts are much like sounds. You can't predict when they will arise. You can't predict what they will be when they do arise. You can't predict how long they'll last. You have no idea what thoughts are going to arise a minute from now or even 10 seconds from now. And sounds, we know, we don't have to pay attention to them. Sounds inside, sounds outside, they come and go. Thoughts are the same. We don't need to pay attention to them. They arise and fall away, all on their own. If you find yourself caught, let go. And all of this is happening in awareness, in our mind. What is that? Check again. Is there anything there that you can grasp a hold of? A shape, a color, a size, anything at all. Thoughts and feelings arise and pass away. We look for the awareness they arise in. We don't find anything. And yet, there's knowing. We know the awareness is there. Can feel boundless. It can feel spacious, like the sky through which clouds, birds come and go. When they're there, and the sky is unchanged. When they're gone, there's no trace. Rest there. There is nothing to understand. There is no problem to solve. Clear. clear, spacious. Knowing. And it's from here that we move into our metta meditation, later our Tonglen. So let's begin this meditation by bringing to mind a benefactor, someone who has graced us with some loving kindness in some way. Perhaps a parent, perhaps a teacher, a friend along the path. There may be many, but for right now, just pick one. And see them as clearly as you can. Note the feeling of gratitude that might be arising. Thank you. Thank you so much. May you be filled with loving kindness. May your compassion grow ever stronger. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you experience joy. May you be free. And keeping that benefactor with you, perhaps you can feel their hand on your shoulder. Allow the image of another benefactor to be present for you and do the same. See them clearly. Wish them well. Wish them very well. May you be filled with loving kindness. May your compassion grow ever stronger. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. And may you experience joy. May you be free. And we have many, many benefactors. So many benefactors that have brought us wonderful things in our lives. Some small, some big. So maybe one more time, bring up another one, or perhaps two or three. and see them clearly once again. Let them be there with you. Feel their presence. They support you. May you be filled with loving kindness, and may your compassion grow ever stronger. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. And may you experience joy. May you be free. And now, supported by your benefactors, allow the image of yourself to appear, perhaps as you are now, perhaps in some younger version, perhaps in some older version. This is the one you know so well. And offer to this one, supported by your benefactors, these same good wishes. You may want to say I, you may want to say you, but you're seeing yourself in whatever way you choose to. And to yourself you say, may you be filled with love and kindness. May your compassion grow ever stronger. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. And may you experience joy. May you be free. And doing that with yourself one more time, seeing if there's any reluctance or resistance to accepting these good wishes. Or does it flow easily? May you be filled with loving kindness. May your compassion grow ever stronger. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you experience joy. May you be free. And shifting once again, and allowing now the image of someone who you love, you care very deeply for, to be present in your mind's eye. Someone for whom it's very, very easy to express these good wishes. They flow so naturally. See them as clearly as you can. And still with your benefactor's presence and support, you're offering to this loved one those same good wishes. May you be filled with loving kindness. May your compassion grow ever stronger. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease, and may you experience joy. May you be free. You may want to see these wishes emanating from you like a wave of light, a wave of love. And shifting once again. And bringing up in your mind's eye a face that you know, but you may not even know their name or anything about them. Sort of a neutral person. Perhaps someone here in the Sangha that you've never really met. Perhaps someone at a store who you bought something from. And just bring them up. And know that there are billions of people that you don't know. And that you're offering this loving kindness to all of them. But see this one, see this one. And in exactly the same way as you offered it to your loved one and to your benefactors and to yourself, once again, may you be filled with loving kindness. And may your compassion grow ever stronger. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. And may you experience joy. May you be free. Notice the difference in your experience as you express these good wishes to someone that you don't know. Can you be as genuine and authentic in these wishes for them as for your beloved? Can you really offer that with that same heartfelt desire that it be so? May you be free. And we shift once again. This time to someone who it may be very difficult for you to bring up thoughts of their well-being and desires for their happiness. Someone who is very difficult for you in some way. Someone who you experience distress, perhaps, and even bringing to mind. Someone perhaps that may have hurt you in some way. And be careful here. There may be people that are so intensely difficult to deal with that you might want to save them for later and practice on someone who isn't quite so difficult. If you're finding that to be present for you, just relax. Pick someone a little easier if you need to. But whoever you settle on, let that person be clear in your mind. And for a moment, using our preliminary practices, our foundational practices, recognize that what we see is the effect of causes and conditions present in them. They are the way they are because of their causes and conditions, most of which we don't know. And again, same words, exactly the same words. May you be filled with loving kindness. May your compassion grow ever stronger. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you experience joy in your life. May you be free. Note resistance or reluctance. See if it's there. If you feel like you're just going through the motions and saying the words and the feeling isn't there, that's all right. But extend those words. And shifting once again to all beings. To all beings in all times and all places, without exception. Imagine these good wishes spreading from you like that wave of light or that wave of love, and perhaps from this Sangha that is here at this moment. As an organism spreading out from us all. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May our compassion grow ever stronger. May all beings be well. May all beings be peaceful and at ease and experience joy. May all beings be free. And now letting go of any effort, just relax. Taking a breath in, and with a breath out, letting go. Resting once again in that spaciousness, in that clarity, in the boundlessness. Just rest. Relax your bodies. Massage a little bit if you need to. Move around, get your legs going. We're going to stand up in just a minute and really stretch. Well, looks like we're going to do that now. So please do what your body asks of you. But unless you really, really need to, please stay here in the room. And when your body tells you that it's okay to do it, go ahead and resume your seat. It's not uncommon in practicing metta, as we just did, to have the experience of not really feeling what you're wanting to offer, especially that last one. And Sharon Salzberg, who actually wrote a book called Loving Kindness and has that as a centerpiece, I guess you might say, of her practice and her teaching, talks about being in a metta retreat where she was doing this kind of practice all day for weeks and going to her teacher and saying, I'm as dry as a bone sometimes. I'm not feeling, you know, I'm going through these motions. And her teacher said, yeah, well, just keep doing that. Keep extending, at least in your mind, even if the feeling isn't there, that all beings, the ones you like, the ones you love, the ones you can't stand, the ones you don't know, everybody, that all beings can be free and happy and experience joy in their lives and all the things that we were saying. And she says later on, in the, as she describes this, that she was really amazed, ultimately, at the powerful, powerful effect of her experience of other people in the world and her experience of herself in relationship to them changed by this practice, even when she wasn't really feeling it. So if you decided, yeah, I'm going to do that, don't be discouraged if at times or even most of the time you're not really having the intense, oh, I really, really, it's okay. Just keep practicing. Another use of metta that can be kind of fun to play with, actually, is to pick somebody that either you don't know or that you really have a little antipathy towards. and practice regularly with this particular person. And my experience, and I've read others' experiences as well, is all of a sudden you start to care about this person. And you're starting to feel friendly toward them. And you may not even know them. So you have to be careful not go up and give them a hug, you know? But that change happens. And one of the questions that sometimes arises, you know, does that do any good to do all that good wishes to others? You know, are they getting any benefit from that? I don't know. I mean, I've heard that debated. Perhaps they are, and maybe they're not. Transformation occurs with us. And when we transform, the world is transformed. And it ripples out. So, I'm aware that we bit off a pretty big chunk to do this morning. And we have one more thing to do. I hate to put it that way. It's not a thing to do. And hopefully it'll be a wonderful and joyous kind of experience. But it is, in some circles, considered somewhat of an advanced practice. And there is a little debate in the Buddhist community about whether this should even be shared with people who are not already well established in the practice. We will go forth. Personally, I think it is something that can be shared. Although this may initially be counterintuitive, that it is a wonderful practice. And this is the practice of Tonglen. We just read what this, by the way, the Great Path of Awakening, in case you missed it the first time around, by Jamgon Kondral. So in this section, he says, first, calmly abide, settle your mind. Think of your teachers and your benefactors, perhaps. Touch the spacious awareness in whatever way you can, because it is from here, once again, that we do these practices, rather than from the sense of ego, I'm doing it. It's coming from that. And then it says, train in taking and sending alternately. Put them on the breath. So taking and sending. The sending part is what we just did. When we breathe out, when we're sending loving kindness, we're sending healing, we're sending transformation to the object of our Tonglen practice. The taking is the taking of the suffering. So, in a nutshell, we're breathing in the suffering, which might be anger, might be fear, might be jealousy, might be terrible self-doubt, or whatever other difficulty afflictive emotion might be part of the picture. And breathing out, love, ultimately. Which is kind of a complete flip-flop on some of the suggestions that are often made. You know, breathe in the good and breathe out all that stuff you don't want. And I'm not saying that that's a bad practice, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that at all. And we may all have done that. But boy, this turns it right on its head. Breathe in somebody else's suffering. I got enough suffering of my own. Thank you very much. Now I'm supposed to add this. I've heard people, no, thank you. And I've also heard people experience, you know, I tried that and it was awful. Which is why it is so important to do this from that place of spacious, boundless awareness, rather than something in your mind of, I can't hear, he's going to take the suffering in and send out the love. It's well beyond that. It's so important to touch that. That one got away. This can be practiced in very much the same way that metta is practiced, in that we can first do this with ourselves or with benefactors if we choose to. We can do it with people we love, with people we don't know, with difficult people. And we're not going to go through the whole sequence with the Tonglen. But let's just give it a go. So to begin, once again, just reestablish yourselves in that position of mental and physical ease, relaxation. Check your mind, see if it's worrying about any of these concepts and ideas, and let it all go. And take a moment. Letting everything go with an out-breath until there's nothing there. And rest in that boundless, spacious clarity. No edges, no limits, no questions. No answers, nothing to understand, resting. And this practice, like metta practice, one of the slogans is, begin the taking and sending with yourself. Which doesn't mean you need to do that every time you practice Tonglen, but especially as you begin the practice for the first few times, and perhaps often as you go along, that you do Tonglen with yourself. So let's begin. Let's begin there. And once again, allow an image of yourself in your mind's eye to arise. Again, it can be a much younger self. Experienced some aspect of suffering in yourself that seems to have its roots in a younger part of yourself. maybe you as you are now. Maybe you even older, and see yourself clearly. Aware of all the suffering that is present. You know it very well. You know your doubts. You know your fears. You know the anger that can be present. You know your losses. You know your loneliness. Be present to that. Allow yourself to be present to your suffering. And in this spaciousness, recognize that you can be there with it. It is safe to be there with it in this spacious clarity. It's okay. And when we use the breath with this practice, the traditional instructions are to picture the suffering as a tarry blackness of some kind, sticky, obscuring, that we breathe in from the object of our Dunglin, in this case, ourself. And we breathe that in to our own center, to our own spacious, boundless awareness that contains everything, including the seat of that particular suffering. So we're bringing that in from the one we're seeing, and it's meeting that which is already present in us. So with the in-breath, you're picturing the dark smokiness, the obscurations, the suffering. And within it transforms, and you can breathe out whatever form of love seems most important to you, as you know yourself right now. It might be love in the form of courage. It might be love in the form of peace. It might be love in the form of tolerance. You're breathing out compassion for yourself. Acceptance of yourself, just as you are, without having to change. So let's practice that together for a few minutes. Just breathing in whatever that suffering might be, and breathing out whatever that love might be. The image coming in is the dark smokiness obscuring things. The breathing out might be moonbeams, whatever image appeals to you, you're just breathing it out, surrounding yourself with that loving presence, breathing in the suffering, breathing out the caring. And like all other meditations, if you find yourself distracted, just go back. It's no work, no effort, just return. Notice any reluctance you have into about breathing in that suffering, even from yourself. Allowing yourself to be aware of it, allowing yourself to be present to it, not trying to turn it away. And be aware also of any reluctance or resistance you might experience to accepting the caring and the love that you're offering to yourself. Now letting go of that image, just resting for a minute. We'll do one more practice. But for now, just taking a breath in, letting it go. Taking a breath in, letting it go. Resting. And then we'll move on to practicing Tonglen with someone other than ourself. And you choose what you might like to focus on or who you might like to focus on. It may be someone that you know that is suffering in some way that you would like to offer this to. It might be a group of people. People separated from their families, for example. People who are imprisoned, for example. People who whose daily life is torn by a war, or their existence is in the midst of a famine. Whatever seems to be in your mind is a good focus for your own compassion. And allow this person or this situation or this group of people, whatever it is you've decided on, once again to become very clear in your mind, clear as you can make it. Clear in every way. Aware of your own feelings about what you're bringing up in your mind's eye. But once again, allowing yourself to be as deeply in touch with the suffering that is present in this other or others as you can be. Even if it isn't your own experience. Because it is your own experience. When you get down to it, whatever it might be, these feelings, again, of fear, disconnection, anger, jealousy, loneliness are there. You know those. So once again, as we practice this exchange, this alchemical exchange, this alchemical is a kind of magical transformation of something that's common into something that is precious. We're practicing this alchemical exchange, exchanging ourselves with others, bringing in the suffering of others. And when we do, it meets our own suffering. That darkness that is being pulled in from them meets that kernel of darkness in ourselves. And when they meet and join together, they are not separate. They are the same. There is no more their suffering, my suffering. It's just human suffering. So fully aware as you can possibly be about the suffering that you're witnessing and extending compassion toward, breathe in that suffering into your center, into that spacious, clear boundlessness. Let it meet your own and transform. There's no boundary, there's no disconnect between you and the other. There is no you and other. It comes together. It's one. Breathing in and breathing out whatever form of love seems to be most helpful. So let's practice that together for a short bit. Visualizing as is most helpful to you. Coming back whenever you need to. And now once again, just letting go. Taking a deep breath in and letting go. Letting it all just and rest for a minute. Shift around and move a little bit if you need to, but don't stand up. We'll stand up in just a minute. I know we're running a little over. I just want to say a couple more things. One is that Tonglen does not need to be used only for big things. One of the things that has come up repeatedly in our intensive on this practice is, I get so frustrated. I can't do it right. I'm not feeling like I'm getting it. I just, oh man, this is so tough. Or I'm doing this and it feels so dry. You know, this practice is taking adversity as the path, which we'll say a little bit more about this afternoon. It's taking any adversity as the path. And in this situation, the adversity is, I can't practice very well. I'm not very good at this. That's adversity, and it can be quite intense. What a wonderful thing to practice Tonglen with, because you can do it for yourself, and you can rest assured that there's a whole bunch of other people out there, many of them here in the room, that also have that same frustration and difficulty with the practice from time to time. So to breathe in that frustration and just to breathe out the energy and the courage and whatever else might come to mind when you find yourself stuck, just go to Tonglen. It really brings into mind we're not alone, you know. I have so much good company. And there's 12. Are there any questions about this? One or two, perhaps, if someone has a question about this practice in particular, please ask. I would really like to think that no one's raising their hand because it's really, really clear and everybody has it, but I suspect that it might have something to do with lunch. It's possible. So, Marie Therese, I think I'll turn it over to you to do the lunch instructions.